To Psalm 105, Psalm 105. This is part two of our series on stewardship. And last week, really what we did is I wanted you to make sure that we understood when we talk stewardship that really what being a steward is, it's a manager. It's being given assets. It's been being given talents. It's being given gifts from God that God expects us to manage and to handle appropriately, right? So if you think of stewardship, think of ownership, think of being a manager. We looked at four things last week that we need to handle and manage according to the Lord, right? We looked at truth. We talked about that I think the greatest responsibility we have as Christians in good stewardship is the truth of God's Word. God has promised that He would preserve His Word. He says that His churches are the pillar and ground of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 3:15. And we see that. And so we have the preserved Word of God today. We can praise the Lord for that. But then what we need to do is we need to speak truth, live truth, and do that in love. And that's our greatest responsibility of stewardship. We talked that last week. Remember, there are four T's. We looked at truth. We looked at time. The time that God gives us, right? Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So we looked at truth, we looked at time, we looked at talent. The gifts that God gives us. So what He has given us, the talents He's given us, we are required and asked of God to use for Him. And so it's important, right? What you are not, God will not hold you accountable for. But what you are, God will hold each of us fully accountable for, to be a good steward, to be a good manager of our talent. And then finally, treasure. And that's what most people think the objective of any preacher that does a stewardship series is for. And here's what I just know this. I know this. I am this confident when I preach. Now, just so you know, when I preach, does it ever feel like I'm trying to move you? Because I am. But I know this. It's the Holy Spirit that has to move you. Do you understand that? What I try to do is, it's like when King Agrippa came up to Paul, and King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I'm trying to take you as far as I can, and then leave it in the Lord's hands. I'm going to preach and I'm going to speak passionately, but here's what I truly believe about that treasure part of our stewardship. I know this without a shadow of a doubt, but I want you to know the truth, right? There could be some that are in ignorance, so first they need to know the truth, and then they're responsible for the truth. When God's people are right with God, they give. You will not give because I preach really, really hard on it, or I preach in some kind of vein with that. I also know this. You won't witness because I preach really, really hard about it, really, really a lot about it, and more often I preach about it. But when you love Jesus and you truly pursue Him and He just becomes everything to you. And I mean, you just love Him and you're consumed with Him. The greatest example that I can, you know, use is for those of us that are married, right? I don't think anybody ever gets married because they hate one another, right? And I'm sure there's cases like that, right? But I mean, I'm the only guy in here that loves my wife more than I did at the beginning. Just kidding. I don't. You know, I mean, so I take her for granted, right? I mean, if you see Joshua and Rachel, it's like, you know, and I'm thinking, in due time, my friend, in due time, you know. But I love that. It encourages me, right? I love being around that and all within appropriateness, right? And I love that they just can't imagine just... When you're around, just hold my hand. Oh, that's so good. Oh. And it's the love like that, you know, and I'm not talking, but do you remember when you were first saved? Do you remember how just Jesus was the only person that you could think about? That's what I hope we can do is when we love Jesus, we'll obey Him. And when we don't, it's not because the preacher wasn't preaching it strongly enough. But I think there's a place for preaching. The Holy Spirit will take truth and He'll work on our heart. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So I want you to know, I never know how I come across. If I came across this morning, did I come across this morning? My daughter will tell me, did I come across this morning as angry? I did. I didn't. And so I was like, oh, that'd be bad. Because I don't want to. But I have such passion that some people don't understand that, right? Because you get your mild people, right? And that's good. We have all different personalities. And they think, man, that guy, he's like over the top. He's ridiculous. And so it's when we get it right, we'll be great stewards, great managers of truth, time, talent, and treasure. Well, this afternoon what I want to do, and I won't belabor the point too much, but this afternoon what I want to do is I want us to look at the promises of God's Word. What does God say to us if we handle His stewardship well? My son just got his first job offer, and so he's excited about it. And, you know, you pray about it. It looks like Josh is going to live in Florida. And so I know Eric's like, oh, man, I love Florida. And so, you know, he is, and Rachel, I'm supposed to either tonight or tomorrow, I need to look at this benefits package for her as well. And kind of go through it, and you know, it's when we get a job, we want to know. You know, it's not the first question. You act like, no, really, I'm just here to make your company better. How much? You know, but you don't walk into an interview and you go, how much you paying me? You know, you don't go and you say, how many days can I miss before you fire me? How many vacation weeks do I get? At the beginning. If I wanted to take vacation the second week, would that bother you? But we are all interested in what is the benefit of stewardship. And so what I want to do is I want us to understand this. And this is neat. The thing I love about God is God obligates Himself. God never had to obligate Himself. You understand, we deserve nothing. That's why it's grace that you're saved through faith. That's unmerited. Not one of us deserved salvation. But God, He is such an amazing God. If we just really grasp how pathetic we are, that He goes beyond salvation. And He says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, don't get that confused with health, wealth, and wisdom. That's falsely preached today. The Bible says that as a believer, we will encounter suffering, and that's part of God's will. But I do love this. God always, He is better than the best employer, right? You ever see these, you know, I see these advertised, top 10 employer in Ohio for 7 straight years, right? God's the number one caretaker of stewards, 6,000 years in running. And that's our God. You understand this? The best employers will follow biblical principles, whether they know it or not. You understand that? The best legal systems follow biblical principles, whether they know it or not. I'm not worried whether they know it. Because God's ways are always best. And so this is so important. When God demands and tells us to do things, it's not just to be irritating to us. It is because He knows exactly what's best, and then He makes commitments, and He makes promises to us. And the problem with me, I don't believe Him. Because if I did, I think I would give of myself a little bit more. And remember, when we talk stewardship, don't just think I'm talking money. I am talking all of those things. I'm talking time, talent, treasure, and truth with all of those. Look at Psalm 105. This is just a little background here, verses 1 through 8. I want you to look at this because this again just sort of just talks about the things of God, and then it reminds us in verse 8 of just His nature and His person. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 8 says this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Oh, ye seed of Abraham, His servant. Ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And then verse 8. He hath remembered His covenant forever. the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. I love that passage. It reminds us all, when we do what God says, when we just give thanks, when we sing, when we seek Him, when we remember Him, when we speak of Him, God remembers His promises. God remembers His covenants. I want to tell you, if you think God forgot His promises, or God shortchanged you, or God didn't do what He said, you're wrong and I'm wrong. God's never failed. And so, it's always good. It's always good for us to be honest. If you think God has failed you, He cannot fail anyone. And then the issue is, then what gives? It's probably us, right? It may be that it's a time of testing that may make us feel like God has abandoned us. But we can trust in the Lord. There's really four things I want us to look at tonight, or this afternoon, with promises regarding faithful stewardship. Turn over in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. A very familiar passage, Galatians chapter 6. But I wanted to have that foundation for us. God is a God of promises. He's a God that has obligated Himself. He's a God that has says, you do this, and I will do this. He's a God that says there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let me tell you, if there's another way to heaven other than Jesus, Jesus is a liar. He didn't say that mean-spirited. He didn't say that hatefully. He said that because the truth is absolutely critical, isn't it? If people think there's another way other than Jesus and Jesus never told them, I think that would be wrong. But Jesus said, I'm the only way. If there's another way to heaven, Jesus isn't who He claimed to be. Galatians chapter 6, you know this passage. Let's read it for memory and reminder. It says in verse 7 through 10, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The first promise that God makes that I want to cover tonight, this afternoon, is abundant harvest, abundant harvest. Now, let's be clear. The abundant harvest will be based on our sowing, will it not? But the abundant harvest can also be very negative. That's what it says here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, it is both ways. That if we reap, the Bible says, if we sow to the Spirit, we shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting, and it's an abundant harvest. It is amazing how one seed will result into an amazing, abundant crop, right? One seed will be a stalk of corn with 8 to 12 ears on that stalk. It's amazing, right? It's amazing how that you sow righteousness before the Lord. Now, here's the key. In that same passage, he says, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Do you see that? He says in verse 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is the struggle with America. This is the struggle with you and I, is that we do something, we expect to plant the seed and reap the ear of corn tonight. Because just after this commercial break, everything will be solved. Right? Except really the effective shows leave you hanging forever and they're like, oh, you didn't finish it, right? But back when I grew up with television, they would finish everything within an hour, right? It would start out tragically and by the end, they happily lived ever after. It's like, oh, that's good. Just 1 hour and life is solved. That's kind of our spirit with God. It's, okay, God, I got right with you. Who are we to demand when? You see, we've got to be real careful. I, as a pastor as well, I'm learning this. I do love the longer I pastor. It's kind of fun that, it is, here's my goal. Just don't faint. And I'll reap. Don't faint, right? Hang in there. Hang in there. God has given us a great blessing this summer. We've seen the Lord move this summer. And you know what? I go back and I look this summer and I think it has to do with seed we planted a long time ago. And so here's what we just need to be faithful with. Remain faithful to God. Remain good stewards in all four of those areas. Truth, time, talent, and treasure. All four of those areas. Let's be faithful and God will always deliver. I shouldn't say it that way. In my life, He never delivers as quickly as I want Him to. Maybe I'm the impatient preacher, right? But I will tell you this. What I do love is, here's my thought. I sow here, and then He gives a harvest here. Well, I want to sow here. And then maybe there's a harvest here. And I sow here. And then what I have to do is not demand that God do it my way. You know, I want to tell you this. Here's my greatest desire of Hope Baptist Church. It's not the numbers, but it's that the people under my preaching and under my direction will love Jesus Christ so much that He will become their priority, and that you will pursue Christ, and that you will love Him, and that your most excited day will be a day that God entrusts you with a soul for Jesus Christ, and you'll text me and you'll call me, and the first thing I'll think is something's wrong because you're so excited and I can't understand you. And then, you know, it'll be like, you know, one day, you know, Rachel gets pregnant or something and she calls me, you know, and she's like, blah, 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 blubbering or whatever, or maybe they'll have some kind of special thing where it turns blue or pink. I don't know. We just can't do it by a phone call anymore. So we have to do it by, and she's going to be so excited. I just want you to be that excited about just the privilege of serving Jesus Christ. That to me would be glory. Because I think when we're in heaven, we're going to love Christ and we're just going to want to be with Jesus. I'm not sure when that'll end. You ever wonder when Jesus will be like, been there, done that. Jesus, I'm going over here. I can't imagine ever wanting to leave the feet of Jesus. And part of my flesh, this is just me being honest because I'm not trying to be too spiritual here. Part of me says, I think that'd get boring. We don't know Jesus. Will there ever be anything in eternity that'll be more interesting than sitting at the feet of Jesus or serving with Jesus or going wherever He goes or doing whatever He does or just being with Him all the time? Is there anything better than that? But we always imagine in heaven that there's going to be all kinds of other things. I think Jesus is enough. I think He'll be enough for us in eternity. I think it'd be best. I'd be so excited as we begin to get that Jesus is enough here, right? That Jesus is enough so that we will begin to sow the things of the Spirit. We begin to reap the things of the Spirit. And that's okay. And when we have less money than we want, when we have, you know, less things than we want, and maybe some of the relationships go a little south, and that may be God just wanting to receive glory because everything doesn't always work out the way we want. That we'll never faint, we'll never get weary, and here's the promise of God. He will give us a harvest. I know this. If I ask for raise of hands, how many of you want to reap mightily of the Spirit? I think you all would say, yes, I do. Then sow mightily of the Spirit. Right? Here's why we don't reap mightily. This is how we sow. And we expect a great harvest. We just need to delight in the Lord. And understand this. Part of it is two issues. We don't love Him the way we should. And we don't trust Him the way we should. Second thing I want you to see, turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Not only He promises abundant harvest, or harvest according to how we sow. Harvest according to how we sow. I also want to make sure that you don't misunderstand me. I am not telling you how God will give you the harvest. I'm not saying if you gave 10 minutes, He will give you 20. I'm not saying if you use your talents, that He will triple your capability. God will never fail us. And don't you think it's best for God to figure out the best way to bless us and give us the harvest and give us the bounty and give us those blessings He's talking about? Here's the problem that many people think. I gave $5. Where's the 20? And I gave $100. Now you need to pay my bills. They're 4,000. Right? It is, we have no place to demand upon God. He will always deliver. But I will tell you, sometimes I've been in that before where I'll give sacrificially, whether it's my time. And so if there is a sacrifice, let me just tell you, there's a sacrifice. And here's my issue as a pastor. Just so you know, my issue as a pastor. Where I kind of demand from God. So I'm just trying to, here's what happens. I can get so busy. I can, and my time to study in the Word of God is precious. And I sort of put a requirement on me how long I want to study for each message that I preach. And for instance, back when we were doing all the work on this building and I was here from 7 a.m. to 2 a.m., I couldn't figure out how the pastor couldn't be here when everybody else was working. I feel sorry for you guys. I don't even want to go back and listen to the messages back then. I didn't have the prep and the study time. So here's what I would do with God. I would beg Him. I would ask Him. And I think He did. You guys are like, no, it was horrible. But I didn't have the time I wanted. But here's what I would tell God. I would at least let Him know. Oh God, I do not know how I'm going to get all this done. Here's how I would love. Would you bless me? Would you give me just powerful study time? It's not the study time that, look, I should not depend on this. I believe this. I have the Holy Spirit that indwells me, and I need to be disciplined, and I need to work and labor over the Word of God and bring you the Word of God and in its fullest extent. I never want to teach you to cheapen your study with the Word of God. But where I struggle with this. And I'm not sure if it's right. I've done this a lot with the Lord. You know there's only 24 hours left. I'm going to sleep 8, 7 or 6 or whatever it is. And, you know, I need some help. And I have all these other things. And I ask the Lord, will you help me? I know where you've been. I need to avoid that. I've asked the Lord for that, right? And so I do believe this. I believe the Lord will bless my time if I give my time of Him and I will give my time and He will help me. I almost use the word He must help me. Just so you know, He must. So I want to tell you, God knows your needs. He knows your heart. And I try not to test the Lord, but that's my issue. That's my challenge at times is that I never want to come to the pulpit unprepared. One of the best things for me is that Abby does the PowerPoints. I try to get her the PowerPoints 48 hours beforehand, so then I have time to think on and muse on and meditate on the thoughts of the Word of God. But I also need to be personal study. So I know where it's at. But we must be careful that we do not demand how God blesses us. I tell God how I want to be blessed. I think that's okay, right? Don't demand how God blesses. I've asked God for the blessings. Here's how I've asked God for blessings. You want to know? I figure this. I tell Him this. Oh God, You've been really good to me. I've had a great 50 years. If the blessings are limited, then give them to my children. And I ask that my children would walk with Him and would love Him and would shower their father with a lot of money. No, just kidding. And just making sure you're listening. But I tell the Lord how I want Him to bless me. And then I say, Your will be done. But I at least let Him know. But we cannot demand how, when, or where He blesses us. Now, look over to Philippians chapter 4. I think you're already there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. This is Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. So not only do we get abundant harvest, but let's look at this. He says, Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or financially supported him. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So the church of Philippi was the only church at this time when he departed from Macedonia that helped him financially. He said, For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. They were a vehicle of God to bless him. Not because he desired a gift. Absolutely. And my point in preaching, even this morning's message, even this afternoon is, verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now verse 19 is the promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All needs supplied. Now I want you to understand this. The reason I read verse 15, 16, 17, 18 is But my God shall supply all your need was linked to the generosity of the church at Philippi, was it not? It was linked to their faithful stewardship. And by all accounts, it appears that the church at Philippi, they made financial sacrifice and they cut it to the quick. If you guys know what the quick is, anybody chew their fingernails here? You know when I say cut it to the quick, you know what I mean, right? I don't chew my fingernails that much anymore. You guys relax me. And so this is a miracle for me not to chew them that much. And look at that. That's a fingernail. And I've never had fingernails. And so, but when you get to the quick, right, I've done it. Put it under cold water and it's like worse, but it seems like it hardens it or something, right? We know all the tricks. But the church at Philippi, it looks like they gave sacrificially and they weren't sure how they were going to make ends meet. In that context, Paul says this. He says, when you are faithful stewards, God shall supply all your need. Now, this is important. There's a great difference between need and greed. Right? Every single person in this room, all your needs are being met. I know. Everybody's feeling poor, right? There's no doubt about it. And nobody here is feeling rich, loaded, right? But has God been faithful? Who's been more faithful, God or us? God, right? And the truth be known, He's more than supplied our needs, hasn't He? God's been good to us. And I do love this. I want you to look back at verse 17. This is a good verse. This is why I preach this series. This is even why I even began to preach this series, because a couple of preachers, they knew my bent against it. I wasn't against it, but I just don't do it. But not because I desire a gift, not because I want more money in the offering box. This is not about money. This is about you and me faithfully being stewards of what God's given us. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I want you to know the truth. I want you to know this. When we give of our time, talent, treasure, and truth, when we give of those four T's, God will take care of us. First two things we've seen, abundant harvest according to how we sow. Secondly, as we give, even give sacrificially of our time. You see, I know this. You all know I was a treasurer for 20 years before I became a pastor. So, you know, I knew all those things, right? So, you know, when the Bible says, you know, where your heart is, there where your treasure is, there's your heart also, where the Bible says that. No doubt about it, right? This is crazy. I mean, I could tell you all kinds of things. It's just like analysis. I could tell somebody when somebody's about to leave the church. They stop giving. Within 3 months, and then boom, they're gone. And so, you know, because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. But it's you know, so I know those things, but here's what I know. Remember what I said, good Christians today, here's what good Christianity is today. Good Christianity today is, I go to church and I don't do bad things. If there's a third thing that's added to good Christianity, here's what it is. I've been around, I've been a treasurer for 20 years. I go to church, I don't do bad things, and I tithe. I will tell you, I think the greatest challenge for Christians is not the tithe. Okay? It's not. I don't think that's the challenge. So, if you really think my agenda, I don't have an agenda. I'm preaching this because I was challenged to preach it, and sometimes I preach things when I don't want to because I think that must be what God wants me to preach because I don't want to, and I don't trust me. The reason I took us through the book of Revelation is because I didn't want to. And so, I thought, well, I probably should. Now I'm fighting going to the book of Hebrews, but we're going to wait on that one for a while because I got a lot of work to do. But it's know this. Your biggest issue, this is from my observation, is not your money. Your biggest issue is your time. How much time are we giving to Jesus? You've marked off church attendance and you've done a wonderful job of that, and I praise the Lord for that. And I have a great people. I want you to know this. You're a great people. And I'll tell you this, the reason why I even preach the way I preach, you're a great people on the precipice. I use that word with somebody, they're like, precipice, on the edge. On the edge of just fully committing to the cause of Christ. And we have no idea what the Lord Jesus Christ might do. The biggest issue you and I have is our time. We go to church, we don't do bad things, and we tithe. Jesus wants our heart. And that's the hardest thing, isn't it? You don't know. You have no more time. Time is so precious. But that's the challenge. If there is a singular challenge out of this message on stewardship, how do we give our time to the Lord and to people? That would be the challenge. God will give us an abundant harvest. God will supply our needs. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll have abundant harvest according to how we sow. God will meet all our needs as we give unto Him of our time, talent, treasure, and truth. And then 2 Corinthians 9 verses 7 and 8. This is just an amazing verse. These two verses here. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I want to tell you this. This is probably, in my opinion, and I'm not going to do enough justice to this, expositing this tonight, but I want to do a better job of this in the future. So maybe during this stewardship, I'll come back to this same passage. This passage is amazing. The promise of God, as it says, is God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What we need in order to be successful, what we need in order to just prosper in the Lord, is we need His grace. And what He says is, that God loves a cheerful giver. Again, it's time, treasure, talent, and truth. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency, that you'll be sufficient in all things, and you may abound every good work. I want to tell you this. What we need more than anything is we need more of God's favor. We need more of God's grace in our life. I know we don't appreciate and understand that, and that sounds like a spiritual cliche, but I'll tell you this. You want more grace in your life? You want more favor of God? He tells you, He says, give. Time, treasure, talent, and truth. He says, give. Give of yourself. You give and you test me. And He says, do you feel overwhelmed? I know anyone that has children, you know, under 10 years old is feeling overwhelmed, right? And you're like, what about the kids, people with teenagers? That's even worse. And then let me tell you, when they're 22, 20, and 18, that's even harder. It's really not. It's not, but it's when you're in the trenches with the little ones, it's the hardest. There's no doubt about it. You don't think you have any time. That's why when I ask how many ladies were up past midnight and ladylike folks, just kidding. Terrible. Scratch that. And so when I ask that, it's because I know your time. The meal on the first Sunday of the month isn't something that was in your normal schedule. When my wife went with me to the conference these last 2 days on Friday and Saturday, and you know, what a great woman. I love my wife. She just sits there with me. She didn't preach. She gave me some pointers. She didn't. And she loves it. She takes copious notes. And she sat there. She gave of a day and a half of her life, a day and a half that she didn't have. And so I was dreaming about her when she was finishing the food for today. But you know what you need? And you know what I need? We need more grace, don't we? Grace that'll help me be more sufficient. Grace that'll help me abound unto every good work. Isn't that what we want? How many of us want to waste our time doing something? And then we're like, well, that was stupid. Wish I hadn't done that, right? You give of yourself, and here's what God says. And I've seen it in my own life. We give of ourselves, I'm not talking recklessly. You see, our stewardship is always, remember we talked about this, it's planned, it's purposed, remember? It's not some whimsical thing, but when we're good managers, good stewards, good owners, it's not like you're just, you know, flying by the seat of your pants, but when we give to God and give our best and we're planned and we're purposed, what God says is, I'll make it all work. That's what He says. He's able to give us the grace that is able to make every good work abound. I'm not preaching prosperity and everything. I'm just telling you this. All I know is, if there is a problem and God doesn't do what I say, it's because I said it wrong. It wasn't because God didn't deliver on His promise. God's always right. I want to represent God correctly, and I hope I am. I worry sometimes when I preach God's promises. Have I said something in such a way that misrepresents God and is going to make people think that God failed? Just know this. If you ever think God failed, it's probably because the preacher didn't preach it right. Or you misunderstood His word, because God has never failed and He never will. First three things is abundant harvest, all needs supplied, and this abounding grace, which I think may be the most amazing of these three. Then the fourth, and I'll be finished. The fourth. Turn over to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. I think we should be encouraged. At least I was encouraged. That as I see these, I'm encouraged. Here's what I know. When I give of my time, treasure, talent, and truth to the Lord, He will bless me. Remember, we started with those employers. What's the compensation package? Well, God's compensation package is better than anyone's. Remember this, it's not about money. What do you want? You want blessings. You want to be used of God. You want eternal treasure, do you not? You want something that you'll be able to live for eternity and say, what a joy. When we pass from this life, we'll never be able to tell anyone about Jesus again that's lost. That's lost. Oh, we will study the Scriptures. Jesus will preach the Scriptures. But no longer to the lost. Not to the lost. Fourth one, Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. The Lord says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God will give us amazing blessings. Now listen, just listen to Luke chapter 6 verse 38. You're familiar with this. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Listen to Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. When we help somebody that's poor, guess what? God's the banker. God says, you give to the poor, I owe you. Woo! That's a good one, isn't it? You talk about AAA rated bond, that's the Lord's, right? It has never defaulted yet, and it'll never default again. And when you lend to the poor, you give to the poor, because here's the reality. The poor ain't giving back to you. How many of you have ever helped somebody that was poor, and they said, well, let me repay you. They're poor. But we ought to help the poor, and here's what God says. I got you. What He said in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, remember again, time, talent, treasure, and truth. It's Malachi 3:10, He says this. He says, you know, bring ye all the tithes, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I always tell you this, God's a sloppy blesser. I don't say that disrespectfully to the Lord. But He says, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and I'm going to pour them out on you. It's why, as you a believer, you bring blessings to those that you're around. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, did we not? We saw that. When an unsaved spouse is married to a saved spouse, right? The Bible says that the saved spouse will sanctify that household. And God will bless the children. Because when a believer's around, we impact everything. I've seen it. When I worked, I wouldn't tell teams this. This is crazy. You think, oh, this is crazy. Because I wasn't that good. I really wasn't that good. But I would get on teams and I knew things would get better. And it wasn't because of my talent. It's how much I saw the Lord work and I knew the Lord. And you know what? Here's the thing. There weren't many believers where I worked. Everybody knew I was a believer. I did that only because it would make me very, very accountable. I wanted to walk into a room and everybody go, oh! You know, and I wanted them to know, I want to do what's right. I love Jesus. And you know what? What that meant, sometimes I'd have to say, I am so sorry I did not represent Jesus well. Because, you know, people would get on my nerves. And I usually tell them. And not thither thee, my friend. Let me help us thee. No. I would feel good in the flesh. Until suddenly the Lord would say, be like, I know. And if it was in a meeting, I would have to apologize in front of the entire meeting. And I would tell them this. I would say, hey, I didn't do what's right yesterday. And the only reason that matters is because I'm a Christian. And I know we could justify it, but I was wrong. And so I told everybody I was a Christian. Just to kind of hold me accountable. That's how flaky I am. But I knew when I was on a team that things would get better, not because I was so good, because that's how good God was. And when I was in there, He would make things better, because when God's with you, and if you're a believer, He's with you, right? When God blesses, it kind of runs over, doesn't it? What's the press down, shaking together, running over? OCD guys don't like that running over stuff. Man, it makes a mess, right? And so I don't like that either. I don't know if I'm OCD, not like that, but I don't know how bad you are, I'm just kidding. But I don't like messy stuff, right? But God says this, when I bless you, it's going to be a little messy. Isn't that good? So I want to tell you, are you serving the Lord? Look for His blessings. This is what He does. Abundant harvest, all needs supplied, abounding grace, and amazing blessings. Here's our issue. When's the last time you thanked God for delivering? When's the last time you said, oh God, thank you. Thank you for blessing me. God, you know when that thing happened to me, I didn't deserve it. What you did, you went over the top, God. And I took credit for it. I thought I deserved that, Lord, because I've been faithful to you, and of course you'll bless me. You see, there's a spirit that we must have, and here's the spirit. We must have a spirit that says, thank you, Lord, and that would be awesome. That would be the first step. But then the second step is that we humble ourselves before the Lord and go, I didn't deserve it. I didn't preach this message tonight, this afternoon, in order to have us think we deserve it. That's not why I preach this message. I preach this message because I wanted to increase your love for Christ. I wanted to increase your love for God. I wanted to increase your faith in God, because He always delivers. If we leave thinking we deserve His blessings, I failed. It wouldn't be grace if we deserved it. I want to tell you though, we don't have to deserve it for Him to give it. Isn't that good? Because if we had to deserve it for Him to give it, He'd never give. All we have to do is give our very best, which is very pathetic. And God says, I know how I made you. Gabriel, open up window number 7. I like to imagine these things, right? And that's our God. He will bless you. But we must sow in the Spirit. Let's pray.